Hello and welcome to the Food Engineering Podcast. I'm Michael Costa, Editor-in-Chief of Food Engineering Magazine, and today our guest is Kevin Otto, Senior Director of Community Engagement at GS1 US. Welcome to the podcast, Kevin.
Thank you, Michael. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Sure, sure. And today we'll discuss a few emerging trends in blockchain that could affect food processors in 2022, plus a look back at how blockchain has evolved in the past decade. And this also ties into a feature story about blockchain in our January magazine, so be sure to check that out. And Kevin is interviewed for that story as well. And Kevin, first of all, before we get started, for our listeners who may not be familiar with blockchain, can you give them some background in history and why blockchain has become more important over the years?
Yeah, absolutely. So actually, the first discussions around blockchain go back to the early 90s. So the technology is probably not as new as many people think it is, but it's evolved quite a bit since that time. So the concept was continued to build upon in the intervening years. And in 2008, a kind of a shadowy figure named Satoshi Nakamoto, which is believed to be a pseudonym for one person or many people, launched Bitcoin. And so that's when I think blockchain really became into the conscious of people around the world, right? Even today, many people associate cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin with blockchain as synonymous, right? And so what we've realized, especially over the last 5 or 6 years, that's certainly not the case, right? Blockchain is the technology that underpins cryptocurrencies, but there are many different uses for blockchain. And what we've seen over the years are organizations, specifically in supply chain, really looking to see how they can leverage blockchain technology to enhance their supply chain visibility and optimization. And there's a couple of really good reasons for this, right? If you think about how supply chains have operated in terms of how they share their data in the past, it tends to be centralized ledgers of data, right? So you have one authority who houses the information and they decide who has access to that information, when they have access to that information, and what pieces of the data inside that database they have visibility to. And so that leads to a lot of inefficiencies in the supply chain. If you think about having to ping a database and wait for a response to what's happening in your supply chain on a given day, it's just not terribly efficient. Also, it leads to a total lack of visibility. So if I'm a food processor or a manufacturer, that database will very likely tell me, yes, my product was delivered to this distributor on this day, but it's likely not going to tell me it went from this distributor to perhaps this retailer on the following day, right? So you really might have, you know, one up, one down visibility to the supply chain. So it really limits what you can do with the information you're pulling out of those databases. And then the other challenge around kind of the centralized way of housing your data is it's really vulnerable, right? So if one organization is responsible for housing all the supply chain data and their systems go down or there's some sort of cyber hack, then you just don't have access to that data and it could be gone forever, right? And so when you look at blockchain technology, that works off of a distributed ledger. So now what you're doing is having transparency among players in the supply chain that they all have the same copy of data, whether you're a manufacturer, a distributor, a restaurant operator, a hospital, whatever supply chain you sit in, you have access to this information to know where your product is at any given point in the supply chain. That also introduces a level of security. So going back to the previous example, where you may have an organization that's housing all the data have, you know, some type of cyber attack, then information could be gone. But if everybody is kind of reading already from the same sheet of music, then there's security around that information. If one copy goes away, other people in the supply chain have a copy of that information. And then this also leads to immutability, which I think is a key component of why supply chains are starting to look into blockchain as a technology to underpin their operations. You can't go in and change the data on a blockchain. It is immutable. So if you try to make a change to one person's copy of the data, there still could be infinite other copies of that data that say, no, that's not accurate. We know what is accurate here because we all have a copy of the information. So in a world where supply chains are increasingly more global and you might not have, you know, daily relationships with everybody in that supply chain, I think that immutability piece that it brings to the table is incredibly important.
Okay. And why should blockchain be of interest for food processors who may only track what happens within the four walls of their facility?
Yeah, I think that the days of only tracking what's going on in your facilities, I think, are going away very quickly. consumers are asking for more information about the entirety of the supply chain. You heard people say consistently from farm to fork, right? They want to know more about their food. So I think you're going to see organizations, you know, as a necessity of continuing to be competitive in the marketplace, moving away around only was tracking what's going on in their supply chain. So blockchain is a technology that allows you to, like I mentioned, go from that farm to fork and see what's going on 2, 3, 4 steps down the road. And then, you know, I think it's also a good idea to look at this just from a safety of your organization standpoint. So if you're only tracking what's going on within your four walls, could you effectively alert a trading partner to a recall or a quality issue? Probably not, right? Because you don't know what's happened one step down the supply chain. And the way that supply chain technology is being leveraged today, I think can give competitive advantages to processors, right? So are you leaving money and insight on the table? The idea behind the sharing of information is that it's a circular feedback loop. So once, you know, product sells, information can be shared back to manufacturers, processors, upstream the supply chain. Say, hey, which product is selling? Where is it selling most effectively? And how can I adapt my operations to make sure that I'm getting the most bang for my buck? And, you know, if something's selling much better in the Northeast part of the country than in other parts of the country, how does that impact my supply chain? So I think there's data being left on the table that is really actionable if you're only focused on what's happening within inside your walls.
And how is blockchain evolving? I was going to say in the coming year, but we're already in that year. So in 2022, and what might be new that wasn't available to processors previously?
What we're starting to see is there's just an ever evolving array of solution partners whose tracking and tracing solutions are built on blockchain that are trying to target further upstream in the supply chain, specifically around small to mid-sized businesses, which have been historically the ones that have been harder to get on board with any transparency information. You know, some of them just tend to be very small organizations that may not have the capital investment that might have been necessary in the past to share this supply chain data with their trading partners. And so we're seeing more and more solution partners come to the table that are leveraging blockchain and specifically addressing the needs of small to mid-sized organizations to get them on board, right? Because if we don't have the long tail of upstream trading partners, we don't truly have farm to fork and supply chain. So what I think you're starting to start seeing is supply chain solutions that allow you to use things like your smartphone to scan product, to upload information, to share it with your trading partners, right? Something that everybody already has in their pocket as opposed to investing in what used to be very expensive equipment to get this done. So you're seeing a lot of this micro targeting from solution partners to get that long tail of the supply chain on board that we haven't seen in years past.
And what has been the most significant step forward for blockchain in the past decade, and maybe in particular with food processors?
Yeah, I think kind of the advent of leveraging blockchain with the Internet of Things. So the idea that there's so many different devices that are connected to the Internet. And one example kind of in the food processing and just the food supply chain as a whole is around cold chain, right? So we know that there are foods that have to be transported at particular temperatures. And if they fall out, right now, the way it works is, you know, it arrives at your back door. And if it's at that particular temperature, we say, okay, we'll accept this, or it fell out of range. And no, we're rejecting this entire load of product. And what we're seeing now is the ability to actually track that product throughout the entirety of its journey. So you can know not just if it arrived at the proper temperature when it's unloaded at your dock door, but if did it maintain that temperature throughout the entire journey. So you have sensors on trucks that can continuously feed data about the environment inside that refrigerated truck to a blockchain so that the recipients know, yep, this is quality product. It stayed within the necessary temperature boundaries throughout the entire journey of the product. And I think that's really important to maintain not just the safety of food, but the quality of food that people want their brands to represent. And I think, you know, kind of the other thing is just ubiquity around blockchain. So if you look at 10 years ago, like I said at the top, people associated it entirely with Bitcoin and other types of cryptocurrencies. And we're really seeing a move from just the cryptocurrency mindset to, yes, this can be used for insurance, it can be used in supply chains. There's government operations that are starting to leverage it. There's voting implications even that are being looked at. So there's all sorts of different ways this is being used. But I think the most important thing to think about when you're talking about how you can leverage blockchain, particularly in a supply chain, is that while it's a place that you can house and share information on a distributed ledger, it doesn't actually generate that information for you. And that's where we at GS1US come in, because we have a set of standards that allows you to uniquely identify your products and the locations in your supply chain so that there's no ambiguity, right? So that this way, if I name my product and I know that there's no one out there that's going to use that same numbering sequence for their product, so there's no collision in electronic commerce of two different products having the same number, which is incredibly important when you're talking about how you uniquely identify and trace products through the supply chain.
And we've talked about the processor side of blockchain, but how much of blockchain's evolution is driven today by consumer desire to track and trace their food?
Yeah, that's definitely a large component of why people were getting engaged, especially on the front end. There's been increasing demand for consumers to know more about their product. I actually went to a restaurant over the holidays with my wife, and they actually on the menu listed all the different farms that the products on the menu had come from. And that's what consumers are expecting. We had some conversations with Cargill in the past, and I believe in 2017, they actually allowed you to track the turkey that you bought for Thanksgiving back to the farm at which it was raised, right? And so those are the kind of rich product details that people are looking for when they consume a meal today. And so if you're only focusing inside your four walls, then I think you're kind of missing the boat on what it is that are driving consumers today. But there's other things too, that it's not just the consumer demand. When you look at your government regulations, the Food Safety Modernization Act certainly is driving the need for greater track and trace and new era smarter food safety, which is specifically talking about how you can leverage emerging technologies to enhance the safety of the supply chain. So certainly the consumer demand is a large portion of it, but you're also seeing things like government regulations that are driving adoption as well.
And from a financial standpoint, in what ways can a processor save money by actively participating in blockchain? And I guess the other side of that question would be, why would a processor have been reluctant to participate in the past?
Yeah, I think it's kind of two sides of the same coin. A lot of processors and just various parts of the supply chain looked at potentially upfront costs and said, you know, maybe this isn't for me. I don't need to get involved right now. I will say, you know, a couple of things is as more solution partners start to get involved in leveraging blockchain, it naturally drives down a lot of those costs. But there's other things that you can do with blockchain that people may not have thought of before. So if you're a processor, you can automate your accounts payable and accounts receivable process, right? So now I've processed my food, I've sent it to the distributor downchain. I know exactly how much of the product I've loaded onto a truck. I know exactly how much they received. And you can actually have electronic contracts encoded on the blockchain that will tell you, yes, I was told I would receive this much of the product. I did receive this much, and now I'm going to automate payment back to my processor, right? And so you actually can take out a lot of the human interaction that is needed sometimes to get these bills paid. And what comes with that is a lot of the mistakes that can be made, right? So automating that process is just one example, I think, of how you can draw out getting paid faster and getting paid more efficiently, which is just, I think, one way that smart contracts are being leveraged in the blockchain to drive greater efficiencies and ultimately feed that ROI that's necessary for any kind of investment in a new technology.
And what are some of the hurdles and challenges still facing the industry when it comes to blockchain?
Yeah, it's a great question. And there's still quite a few. And I think we actually conducted an interoperability pilot here at GS1US in the seafood industry last year with some leading manufacturers, retailers, and solution providers, three of whom leverage blockchain and one of whom is actually a cloud-based solution. So I think the idea here is it doesn't need to be blockchain. There's other technologies you can look at as well. And what we've realized is that 20% of the problem is around the tech and how the tech talks to each other. And what we demonstrated is that leveraging GS1 standards to identify and capture information about the products and locations in the supply chain goes a long way in solving those problems around interoperability. We were able to test with these various trading partners that we could exchange information about the who, what, when, where, and why of the supply chain as product flowed. The bigger challenge, the 80% of the solution, is around industry actually sitting down and agreeing to what information needs to be shared when and with whom, right? So it's not a technology problem. It's more of a problem of getting into a room, you know, potentially certainly with competitors, and under an umbrella of antitrust, saying, okay, here's the information that needs to be shared with our trading partners in order to make transparency and visibility happen, right? And that's not a technology issue. That's the will of the industry to come together and decide on kind of these standards and how they're going to share the information. And the reason we did our pilot with the seafood industry is because there already exists this guidance in the Global Dialogue for Seafood Traceability, which was published a few years ago, that kind of already outlines those guardrails. So we actually had something to work off of. And I think that's going to be the challenge for industry over the coming years, is if you want to take advantage of emerging technology, it's not just something you can take out of the box and say, now I've adopted blockchain, for example. You have to have the data in place. It has to be standardized and to be able to share with trading partners and make your solutions interoperable. And you have to agree on what needs to be shared and when. And that's something that technology itself can't do.
And is blockchain more useful for processors to track what happens on the front end upstream, like ingredients, or the back end with processing and packaging?
Yeah, I wouldn't characterize it as more useful for one or the other. The idea of blockchain, or really any tech that's aimed at increasing supply chain visibility, is about getting the whole supply chain interconnected. But what I would say is that, especially this became light even more so through our interoperability pilot, is getting further upstream, you know, processors and the supply chain, or the, excuse me, in the seafood case that we talked about, the actual fishing vessels, like getting that far up in the supply chain is a unique challenge. And because so many of these different solution providers, as I mentioned, are coming up with ways to target those smaller players in the supply chain, it might just be one fishing vessel with a smartphone being able to upload information to a blockchain. I think that's where it starts to show a lot more value. So it's not necessarily that blockchain itself is better for one part of the supply chain versus the next. It's about the solutions that are being built on blockchain that are allowing you to take your smartphone, take a picture of a product, and share that information with your trading partners downstream, making it more accessible, the democratization of that data that just didn't exist for smaller players upstream in the supply chain in the past.
And with some processors using ingredients overseas or from other countries, is blockchain a global network, or are there more hurdles when it comes to tracking where these ingredients have been before they enter the country?
Yeah, absolutely. So blockchain is absolutely can be leveraged globally. And I think that's one of the reasons that people started to look at the blockchain as a solution is because of that immutability. So in a global supply chain, you're not going to necessarily know all of the actors. These supply chains are incredibly complex, as you well know. And so the ability to track back immutable information to know exactly where product came from is really paramount. So I think that immutability, again, is a reason that a lot of organizations are starting to look at blockchain, because these supply chains are increasingly more global. So absolutely, it's something that organizations are looking at to drive those efficiencies and not necessarily need to have that trust and know every single link in the supply chain, but be able to trust the data that's being shared via the blockchain.
Where will blockchain be 10 years from now, and what impact do you think it will have on the industry?
I think we're going to see fairly widespread adoption of blockchain in the food industry in the coming years. I mean, we're already seeing it. There's a number of major players who already have blockchain implementations in production, right? So it's not necessarily proof of concept. This is stuff that's actually happening in their supply chain today. What I think you're going to hear less and less about is talk about blockchain itself. Right. So less about the actual technology, more about what use cases can blockchain help drive. Right. So, you know, you liken it to if you were going to choose which email server you wanted to use. Right. You're not necessarily going to get bogged down in how the internet works. Right? And so I think you're going to see more of that with blockchain, is that you're going to start less and less about the technology and more about use cases, issues in the supply chain, and then evaluating, OK, is blockchain one of the technologies that help drive this out? And I think in many cases, you're going to see, yes, that's exactly the route that organizations may go. But again, it'll be yet less about the technology itself and more about, you know, business driving technology as opposed to vice versa.
Okay. Well, you answered all my questions. Was there anything you wanted to add or something I missed?
No, certainly nothing you missed. I think the only thing, you know, I would add again is, you know, if you have questions around the use of GS1 standards and how they can help make these blockchain solutions interoperable and kind of talk to each other enable you to have solution choice, we at the GS1 US team are happy to help with those conversations. But you know, don't be afraid to explore the technology. I think one thing that I realized when I started looking into several years ago is you do not need to be an expert in cryptocurrency to start looking at blockchain as something that can be leveraged in your supply chain. So feel free to dig into it and not feel as if you don't know what Bitcoin is, then all of a sudden you need to be on the sidelines, because it's absolutely not the case.
All right. Well, thanks again for joining us, Kevin.
Thank you. Pleasure for having me.
And thanks to you, our listeners. If you have any comments or questions or would like to be a guest on the podcast, you can contact me via email at costam@bnpmedia.com. Until next time, this is Michael Costa on the Food Engineering Podcast.